Ripping It with Ryan coming up at noon. Ravens, believe it or not, training camp less than 2 weeks from today. Preseason opener against the Colts less than a month from today. I think I'm already putting money on the Ravens getting 2.5 against the Bills in the season opener. But here to talk about the team the way it looks on paper right now, which it appears to be pretty strong. Window Nation guest hotline, Baltimore Banner, joins us every Friday. Jonas Schaefer. Jonas, what is up? Happy Friday.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Sorry if you hear any background noise. I'm at a Mark Andrews event right now, but I can hear you loud and clear on mine.
All right, Mark Andrews, since you're there and you're covering old 89, we know the end of the last season did not go well for him. It was inglorious, quite frankly. Took a lot of heat. We did it here on the show for not addressing the media immediately after the fact, because we all want to hear people say, hey, I sucked. Yeah, we know that, but we want to hear you say it. As he goes into this final year of his contract, if you're putting a number on what his expectations could be production-wise, what should we expect, or what do you expect, I should say, for Mark Andrews this year?
I don't know. I mean, like, as you guys know, there are so many mouths to feed in this offense, and there could be games where this team rushes for 350 yards and games where Lamar passes for 450. It's just as simple as that. So I think I probably would say Mark finishes with more receiving yards than he did last year, which, you know, wasn't exactly a banner year for him. But, you know, it was refreshing to just talk to him today. He said he's very lean. He feels explosive, which matches, I think, what we saw in OTAs and minicamp. He was, I think, pretty forthright about the past, 6 months or so. You know, he said he's ate a lot of SH blank blank for what happened there in Buffalo. But, you know, he always puts on a good and happy face. I think he's in a good place mentally. I think he's in a good place with, you know, his family and friends, and, you know, loves the tight end room, obviously. So he seemed in great spirits. You know, he looks great, obviously. Again, kind of looks more like a wide receiver than a tight end just because of how lean he is. I've learned never to bet against Mark Andrews, and I wouldn't start this year.
Hey, Jonas, are you surprised that they don't have any extensions done this thus far, or are you expecting any to be done by the start of the season?
Yeah, I mean, I would hope that Lamar's deal gets done ASAP, because I think that would clear the deck for a lot of others. I think generally these summer hiatus weeks are usually pretty quiet. Like, occasionally we'll see a procedural move from DaCosta, you know, claiming someone or putting a tag on someone, but obviously there's not a lot of cases that apply in this situation. So I think, you know, I guess we kind of forget that the Ravens got that deal done with Broderick Washington when everyone was expecting them to get a deal done with Nami Madubuike a couple off seasons ago. So maybe it is something that's under the radar and low-key, like a Charlie Kohler deal, or maybe, you know, obviously Travis Jones, that would, I think, be a pretty medium to high-key deal, but I think that would be a good bit of business considering what he might be in store for in 2025. But, yeah, I mean, like, obviously when you get these guys in the building, you get the chance to, discuss brass tacks, and Eric Costa will probably be back from whatever vacation he's on, and hopefully we can see some movement because there's a lot of really good young pieces that the Ravens need to get under contract.
Hey, Jonas, what are you expecting from Ajabo in training camp?
I'm expecting to answer a lot of questions about how he's on the outside looking in on this roster level at this point. You know, I just don't know. When you think about Adafe being, you know, oh, he's always been a speed guy, and now he's going to be a speed to power guy. You have Mike Green, who I think we all expect to be a speed rusher. So is that going to make Ajabo just look like a pale imitation when you kind of stack his reps against everyone else's? I mean, obviously, we can't really tell what these guys are doing until the pads come on, which is going to be a frustrating wait, you know, after the start of training camp. But he just needs to kind of flash the way he did in the preseason last year. I think, you know, was it the game against Atlanta where they finally looked like he was doing some good stuff, and that came after some training camp practices where he was actually turning off the edge and showing that burst that he had at Michigan. So, I can't say I'm as optimistic for his season as I am for Mike Green's or for Adafi Owe's, but, I'm sure he's been putting in the work, and hopefully for his sake, he's, you know, able to put himself in a position where he can contribute on special teams, because I think he played like fewer than 40 total snaps there last year, and if he has any chance of making this roster, that he's not going to be an elite pass rusher. It's probably going to be contributing in another phase of this game.
Jonas, if they bring in a veteran, when do you think they would? I'm guessing, in what position do you think they would bring in a veteran?
Well, if the kicking competition is just a complete disaster, then that probably will have to be an option.
Yep.
But other than that,
what about inside backer, inside backer, safety, O-line?
Yeah. I think you can always find decent pieces at inside linebacker. I'm not sure what the market is there right now. But again, I think the biggest drop off on this Ravens roster from, you know, clear 1A to number two is inside linebacker. I mean, you know, just looking at the splits last year for how Roquan got better after Trenton Simpson got benched, pretty stark, pretty concerning. Obviously, I think we're all expecting him to be better in year three, but there's not a lot of other stuff there. You know, Buchanan, I think, will be a good piece, but it's really tough for linebackers to do anything productively as a rookie. And then Hummel is basically a special teams guy. So if there are guys who are floating out there who you think can give you a Chris Board or Malik level of effort or contribution in some way, then I think, you know, you probably won't have to pay too high a premium to go get them.
Preseason games, do any of the top 22 play?
I think probably it would make sense to see Trent Simpson out there again. You know, he got his feet wet in the preseason last year, and I think, you know, obviously he wasn't great, but I did think that helped him. Other than that, it's tough to kind of roll through the Rolodex and see a lot of guys that you would want out there. You know, I probably like a Voorhees just so he can get his feet wet as well. I think it never hurts to give Falele as many reps as possible, considering this is still kind of a new position for him. But other than that, I mean, you're talking about a lot of guys with high profiles and, you know, injury situations that you don't want to expose them to. So it's really tough for me to find guys besides the young guys. And I guess that could even include Malachi Starks, who you would want out there more than like a series or so.
In that response there, Jonas, how important then is the Colts and the Washington practices?
Well, I wish there were multiple of them because I enjoy them.
I do too. Yeah.
I think it usually ends up being that the first day is kind of nasty, and then it bleeds over to the second day. We get fights, and then we get Ravens PR mad at us for talking about the fights. So I think it's instructive in you know, as far as they can be, because you are getting one-on-ones, you are getting wide receivers versus DBs, you're getting O-line versus D-line, and all that stuff just reminds you maybe where exactly your best guys are relative to another team's best guys are. But, you know, as long as they stay healthy, as long as it's all kind of in good nature and there are actually productive reps, you know, I remember the Ravens kind of having their butts kicked for a little bit in a joint practice against the Panthers a couple of years ago, and then the Ravens had a really good season and the Panthers didn't. So you don't want to make too much of it, but as a fan and a you know, spectator in the media, I am always a fan of seeing these guys as much as possible.
Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner, joining us, Biddy and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Featured Artist Friday. Last thing for you, Jonas. TJ Tampa, your optimism level for him being somewhat of an impact player this year is what?
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty high on him, and they went and signed Jair Alexander. So it's TBD on what exactly he'll be. You know, it seemed like he was kind of splitting those first team outside cornerback reps in OTAs and minicamp with, you know, Awuzie, however his name is pronounced. So I thought he looked good. You know, obviously he wasn't perfect, but you can see the size, you can see the ball skills. I don't think you need to be a 4-4 burner to make it in this league when you've got his levers and his size, and you think of what Kamari Laster was able to do for the Texans last year. I don't know if TJ Tampa can put those kind of clamps on guys, but I do think someone with his physical ability can make it difficult for some of the smaller wide receivers in the NFL. So I'm excited to see how he can develop. And, you know, the great thing about the Ravens now finally having a wide receiver room is that it doesn't matter if he's on the first team defense or second team defense, because he's probably going to be playing some pretty good guys out there.
Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner. Jonas, as always, appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your Friday. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jonas.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
There's Jonas Schaefer. We'll come back, whip around, talk about what happened in the sports world of sports last night. And historically, some pretty cool stuff here locally. So stick around for that. Bottom of the hour, Dave LaMonica, TerrapinTimes.com. Buzz Williams has put together his staff for the 25-26 season. The roster is set as well. So all of a sudden, Maryland basketball men goes from, man, they're going to suck and it's going to rebuild to, boy, they better make the tournament. And it looks like Maryland football took a recruiting blow last week. Could this be one of many for the class of 26?
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport,
every game,
everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
All right, time for the Whip Around here on this Featured Artist Friday. It's Eric Clapton. It's chosen by you, the people. Anything you want to talk about, or listen, I should say you want to talk about, we'll do that too. Anything you want to listen to from him in various incarnations of music, we got you covered. Taylor Fritz, Carlos Alcaraz, we're trying to watch. Of course, as you can tell, I can't really do two things at the same time. But we're 6-6, fourth set. Alcaraz up 2-1 on serve here. They're in the four-set tiebreaker right now. So Taylor Fritz trying to stay alive, take this thing to a fifth as the American is in the men's semifinals here. And I'm assuming it'll be over at some point today. Some of these tennis matches last like 5-6 hours.
Yeah,
they're still rolling when we get it at 2 o'clock, but it is what it is. But right now, Taylor Fritz just trying to BG, staying alive here on a Friday morning over there in London. Yesterday, it happened during the day, 3:30 as a matter of fact. The Vegas Summer League, the Pelicans took on the Minnesota T-Wolves. Just when you think basketball's gone, it's not. Never goes away. It's like football. It just kind of sticks around for months and months and months. What are we, July 7th, August, September, in 3 months, NBA will be back at it. They'll be a training camp. They're ready to rock and roll. But Derek Queen, Maryland stud, Baltimore kid, made his summer league debut, and I would say, score aside, final score, pretty impressive, wasn't that?
Boom, he moves it and gets other guys involved.
Two-way player for New Orleans.
Here off the wrong foot, Derek Queen knocking down.
He's not him, but does he have a little slow-mo in his game?
That is slow-mo, I guess, is Joku, and Joker there. But Derek Queen has ESPN on the call. 13 points, 10 boards, 3 assists. He does have that slow-mo game. Mm-hmm. It looks like he's not really moving, but he is.
Right.
And I'm telling you, Nolan, you know this, because he's a 75% free throw shooter. He's going to expand his range. He's not going to be Steph Curry shooting threes. But I think as his career evolves, body gets a little more defined, he's going to be someone that can make you sweat a little bit from beyond the arc. At least give you something to think about.
Yeah, he hit a three in that game.
Yep.
Mid-range game was on point. And then watching some of the highlights, he even busted out a behind-the-back pass, too, in the paint. Yep. So he's doing it all.
He's got an extremely high basketball IQ. So Derek Queen, I mean, a lot of criticism towards the Pelicans for the trade that they made to get him. But we'll see if it he makes them all look stupid when it's all said and done. Cooper Flagg made his debut as well. Oh, if you're wondering, Minnesota wins 98-91. It was Dallas 87-85 over the Lakers. Bronny missed the game-winning shot. But Cooper Flagg, yeah, 10 points. That's great. 5 for 21 from the field. 0-for from beyond the arc. He did have a monster dunk. He just kind of drove the lane one-hand hammered down the lane. But Cooper Flagg is a much anticipated star coming, expected star coming to Dallas because the lottery's not fixed. Rough night from the floor, but still you saw the athleticism and some of the other intangible things that he brings to the equation. And here's another thing: now that he doesn't play for Duke, I don't hate him anymore. And move on. Once you take off that blue and white, you're good. All good, man. Julian Reese for the Lakers, DNP. Summer League play. So the former Terp, trying to find a niche. Might not be in the NBA. Might not be for the Lakers. But you can be rest assured Julian Reese is going to get paid to play professional basketball. And he's going to get paid handsomely to do so. It's the Whip Around, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. This day in sports history, it is July the 11th. How about 1914? Yeah. Baltimore's own Babe Ruth made his major league debut.
Wow.
For the Boston Red Sox at Fenway Park against the Cleveland Naps. Babe Ruth, starting pitcher that day, went 7 innings, 8 hits, got the win, was 0 for 2 at the plate. 2 of those 8 hits for the Cleveland Naps off the bat of Shoeless Joe Jackson. Now eligible for the Hall of Fame. He was 2 for 4 with a ribby. This day, 1987, Bill Ripken made his major league debut. Why is that a big deal? He's Bill Ripken, you know, emeritus partner here on BBT. But Cal Sr. was the manager. And with Cal Sr., Cal Jr., and Bill Ripken, Cal Sr. managed his 2 sons.
That'd be cool.
In a Major League Baseball. It was cool. In a Major League Baseball game. Damn, Bill, you were 0 for 3 with a walk. What the hell? And the Orioles lost 2-1. What's going on here? All that nonsense. 1968. Orioles history. Earl Weaver replaced Hank Bauer as Orioles manager. Hank Bauer managed the Orioles to the 1966 World Championship. He got hided, Nolan. He got yanked. They had a winning record at the time when Hank Bauer was Cundiffed. But Earl Weaver, who came up from the minors to be the, I think he was the first base coach, he took over. Rest is history. The Orioles did win that night against the Senators, 2-zip. Dave McNally, 2-hitter. Don Buford went yard. 1983, Memorial Stadium. Orioles edged the A's 7-6. Eddie Murray, Ken Singleton both went deep. Dennis Martinez picked up the win. And if you knew this guy, and I like to think I know some Orioles stuff, more later, I don't remember what happened 3 days ago, but Dan Morangella got the save. Exactly. I was like, who the hell is that guy? I told Jay Payton played 3 years for the Orioles. I don't remember one game. Eddie Leaves is like one of the all-time triples guys. But anyway, Morangella got the save for the eventual world champs. And then in 2014 against the Yankees, 10 innings, Nick Hundley's base hit drove in Manny Machado. Miguel Gonzalez went 8 strong, but T.J. McFarland picked up the win. Orioles edged New York 3-2 on their way to the American League's Eastern Division Championship, would make it to the ALCS. Got swept by the Royals, and as we know, Orioles haven't been there since. When we come back, shift gears, talk some Terps, as Derek Queen, we just heard from him, made his summer league debut. But what's Buzz Williams putting together for next year's season, as Maryland made the Sweet 16 for the first time in 9 seasons? Now expectations have kind of risen a little bit based on what the experts are saying about Buzz's first team. Phil's out of staff, and Loxley took a tough recruiting L last week, and we'll get into that. Could this be a foreshadowing of other recruiting things to come? Ripping It with Ryan coming up top of the hour, so we get back to the Oriole talk in a big way as the Birds sweep the doubleheader from the Mets. They're back. Now we're buying, not selling. I mean, it's like insanity. We're living in bizarro world. They get swept by the Marlins. They fire Elias. They win 3 in a row, trade for Dylan Cease, get rid of Jackson Holliday to do so. You get the drill, everyone. But let's talk some Maryland from TerrapinTimes.com. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show Dave LaMonaco. Dave, what's happening?
Not much, Bob. How are you, my man?
I'm hanging in there. Before we get to hoops, and there's a lot to get to there, even though it's July, Emmanuel, and I'm going to try this by myself, Ahia Nako, offensive lineman from Bethesda. Did I get it right?
You're close enough.
Committed to Oregon. Did it on right. Pat McAfee, and he, along with Ely, were going to be this, hey, we're coming as a package deal. We're going to save the day, et cetera, et cetera. And he goes to Oregon. Maryland apparently wasn't even in his list of finalists. So talk about him as a player, because they're going to face him now with the Ducks. But what does this mean for Ely moving forward?
Stuff goes all over the place with these guys. I mean, Bob, you know the drill at Maryland. I mean, a lot of these top recruits, they'll get a couple of them, but they use Maryland as a leverage ploy to maybe, and now they can use it to maybe get money out of other schools. And Ely's saying all the right things. He's the 5-star defensive end, for people that don't know, at St. Francis that committed to Maryland a few months ago. Has been steadfast in his commitment, shut down his recruitment. Okay, that's all well and good. We'll see if that actually sticks. When the Oregons, Auburns of the world, Alabama start throwing around the money, we'll see if he sticks. Our gut is that he won't, and that he'll eventually flip as well. We'll see. Ihinako, however you say it, Georgetown prep kid, they rarely, some of those high-end D.C. schools, A lot of, you know, you don't send kids there to go to a school like Maryland a lot of times. And they've had trouble getting kids out of those schools. They just got their first kid out of Gonzaga in years. So he's a Georgetown prep guy. He reminds me, I've seen him play, very similar to what Jonathan Ogden was back in the day when he was at St. Albans in D.C. So, you know, Oregon's getting a pretty good one. Was not interested in what Maryland really was selling the last couple of months. I mean, he had them in there initially, but really wasn't buying what they were selling of late. We kind of wrote him off a little while ago. So that's good for Oregon. He'll probably stick with them. And we'll see if Ely ends up sticking. Our gut is right now is that he'll eventually matriculate to the highest bidder. But, you know, you never know.
All right, we'll circle back to football in a second, but let's get to hoops. Buzz Williams has filled everything out with his staff. I mean, it's literally an entirely new staff, new roster, new coach. So as we look at Maryland basketball on July 11th compared to where they were, say, on April 11th, Dave, how much more optimistic are we that, hey, this isn't going to be a rebuild, let's suck for a couple of years. This is a team that might be ready to be scary here in 2025, 2026.
Yeah. I think we talked about this the last time I was on. I like the makeup of the team. You know, you've got it's a hard-nosed, physical team. They're going to play defense. They're going to run for 40 minutes. Super athletic, super tough. Might struggle to score a little bit if Darius Adams is the one guy that can shoot. He's a freshman, so we'll see if that translates. Maybe not reaching the 70-80 point mark every night, but if you can win games in the 50s and 60s by playing tough defense, then a win's a win, and you'll take it. And I kind of like where they're at. I mean, Michigan State sort of did that a year ago, and they were at the top of the Big Ten. I don't expect Maryland to be there, but they could challenge for a tournament spot. I really that's pretty good. A first year head coach getting 14 scholarship players in here, a lot of some solid transfers and some good recruits come in like the Adams kid and Pharrell Payne from TAMU. They could easily be a I think, what do they have? A Lunardi has them like a 10 seed early.
Yeah.
I could definitely see them. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, Cats has them in the top 40 among the teams nationally. Dave LaMonaco, TerrapinTimes.com, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. You mentioned recruiting. How's 2026 looking for Buzz Williams? I know he's nipping at the heels of a lot of the heavy hitters here.
Yeah. He's going after they are recruiting nationally, which is really good to see. I like that. Maryland should be able to recruit nationally. It should be a top 20 program. It was a top 20 program. Went down a little bit there, but Buzz is certainly going after the top guys nationally. And you know, you're not going to get them all. Some of them are going to go to Dukes or, you know, people that have a ton of money. But he's going to get a couple of them. I mean, he got Adams last year, this year coming in. So there's a lot of 2026 kids that they're hot on the trail of. The one local kid that we like is Anthony Brown. He's a point guard out of Carroll, down in D.C. And he's a four-star kid that they really like. He's a true point guard, and he might be the next recruit to come on board. Anthony Brown out of Carroll.
All right.
To watch.
All right, Dave. Jim Smith is in as the AD. He hired his associate athletic director. So not only turnover with the basketball program for the men in the power structure of the Maryland Athletic Department. So give us an idea. Diana Sabow, I apologize, Diana, if you're listening here, but she's got Big Ten experience. She's coming from Utah State. I mean, how has this been retooled, understanding that the major thing they need to do is generate some dough?
Yeah. Her, and then they brought in the assistant guy, Jim LeBou, who's a Maryland guy, which is always good. You got to have a guy that's a Maryland alum that sort of knows the landscape. So those two serving as the assistants of Jim Smith these are really quality hires from you know, the people we've talked to. This is the first time in 20 some years that they have a real athletic department that's focused on just building everything up and doing it the right way. They're go-getters, they're high-energy people, Smith, Diana, Joe. They're cleaning house. I mean, their heads are rolling and they're going to continue to roll. And that's the way it had to be. It was, you know, you got Damon Evans and a bunch of carpetbaggers in there that were basically hiding in a bubble and stealing money. And now you've got people that are really pushing this thing forward and are trying to raise the profile of the athletic department. Diana is very high energy. She has experience in the Big Ten. She was at Ohio State before she went to Utah State. Like I said, she's a go-getter, and she's going to be working in marketing. She's going to be working with the individual teams, and she's going to be promoting. And that's sort of what you need. And then Joe LeBoux, the other assistant that came in, he's going to be sort of doing the same kind of thing, but he knows the landscape just because he's a Maryland alum, which, like I said, it's always good to have that in there.
David, seems like a lot of Ohio State ties. And if that continues, probably the top Ohio State assistant might end up being the football coach eventually.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. Yeah, Loxley continues to be on thin ice, so we'll see what happens here with that. Unless there's a 180-degree turnaround, and recruiting isn't looking great right now, so we'll see what happens. But, yeah, they could be looking for a new coach in a few months here. So, yeah, there's not a better school in the Big Ten to emulate than Ohio State. So if they're going to do that, then they might not get to that level, but it's a good school to emulate for sure.
Dave, looking at this football team, the Terps, where's the hope? Where's the strength?
In terms of this coming fall or
yes,
in the future?
No, this coming fall.
Oh, geez, man. Is there one?
Uh-oh.
I was hoping you were going to ask me for the future. Man, this coming fall, they got some quality transfers in the defense, I guess. I mean, it might be a trying year, Vinny.
what are you projecting? What are you projecting, Dave?
Oh, man, I don't know. Four wins, five wins, maybe. Because the schedule's – and that's because the schedule's easy. Or on paper, it's easier. They don't have to face a lot of the heavy hitters this year. Again, so they got really lucky with that. Loxley should be thanking the Big Ten gods for that. They might, because they might be able to beat the Rutgerses of the world and squeak out three or four wins. But it might be if they had to face harder teams, they could be in for a Purdue-like year, like last year. So it's just I like the potential. Like I love Malik Washington. I think he's great. But you start a true freshman against Big Ten competition. He's going to get fried. So it might be a bit of a rebuilding year. They got some transfer, but you never know what happens with the transfers. You never know how they're going to fit. So I think they have one guy that was on Phil Steele's preseason all-conference team, and he was a tight end that hasn't even played a snap here, Dorian Fleming from Georgia State. And he's the only guy that made one of the preseason all-conference teams, a tight end from Georgia State. So that kind of tells you what the projection is. Now, obviously, they're not going to look at their conjecture. They're going to say, like, hey, we don't care what the media says. We're going to do it. And they should. That's what they should do. But compared to some of the other schools, this could be a kind of a trying year.
Hey, nobody was talking about Ty Felton a year ago at this time. We also what happened with him. I'm reaching. By the way, Northern Illinois is not going to be easy, and you know Shinnick's going to have Towson fired up. So just get through that three unscathed where you have the lumps you're taking in the Big Ten. Boy, I'm all full of doom and gloom. He's Dave LaMonica, TerrapinTimes.com. Dave, always appreciate the time. Have a great weekend. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Dave.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
There's Dave, everyone. We'll come back, go to the fun house, Dolan McGraw, and then Ripping It with Ryan takes over at 12 o'clock. We'll talk about those Orioles. Now we got people just in 24 hours. Instead of selling and trading everyone, now some people want the Orioles to buy. Hey, beating the Marlins is not going to be an easy task starting tonight. And let's see if they keep this momentum rolling against the Marlins, who bring back, of course, Kyle Stowers, an all-star. Connor Norby gets regular playing time. This kid Cabrera throws really hard tonight, so that's going to be a tough task. But Dean Kramer, he's usually up to that sort of thing, right? Didn't he pitch really well on Sunday? Old man Bunn against the Braves?
It's up and down.
Yeah.
I mean, it could easily go back and have a rough outing, you know? But hopefully the early season struggles are behind him. It's usually been what his tendency has been, but I just feel like this year he's been even slower than usual to get ramped up.
Well, it's hot outside. We're going to kill him at the line of scrimmage. Remember that from NFL films. But D. Kramer against Eduardo Cabrera. That's coming up tonight. And Ryan will talk about that. Vinny, what's your plans for the weekend as you're out the door here?
Yeah, we've got nothing really. Kids are all going to be Charlie's in Minnesota, Vincent's in Penn State, Rachel's heading to Florida. So, Bob, I hate to say it, I might have to do honeydews, man.
No, yeah, they're always tough, too. Well, see, I am one. I don't mind cutting my grass. I don't have a lawn as big as yours, but I like getting out there and just zoning out. I don't like weed whacking all that great, but, you know, you do what you got to do. So that's kind of cathartic for me. But like building stuff, getting on ladders, that's a negative.
No. I'll go for a walk. You know, I like walking when it's hot out. You know, I mean, you guys are both heading on vacation. That'll be kind of nice.
Word.
Bob, did you ever change your windshield wipers?
I did.
Oh, okay.
Steve Regler changed them for me as well.
Okay, never mind. That is not.
But
that answers my question.
All right, full disclosure. I needed new windshield wipers. They were literally, the rubber was falling off the plate. And it was raining that day.
Ooh.
And I had bought them like a couple days prior. And I was like, man, I don't want to be changing these things in the rain. So Steve Regler, great guy. And I'm not just saying that to kiss his ass on the air. We've been buddies for 15 years. I said, Steve, man, do me a solid here. And he did. He goes, how are them winter wipers? I said, they're awesome. And so I drove home in the rain that night. My windshield, you could have ate off of that thing. It was so crystal clear. But yes, they were done.
A picture of Bob's DIY capabilities there. You can't even snap on some wiper plates.
You give me a box with directions, I'll build that. But if you hand me a pile of wood, like my brother, my younger brother can do it, and my buddy Joe, rest in peace, you give them, there's 50,000 8x4s or 8x10s. Do something with it. They'd build something out of it. I'd be like, get this crap out of my yard. Where's the lighter fluid? Let's set it on fire. Just get it out of here. But if you give me, I can build stuff with directions. It just takes a long, long time. And yes, I can screw in a light bulb.
All right. Well, that's like boiling water.
Yeah, and you can change a tire, and I can do stuff like that reluctantly. Mm-hmm.
Can you change a lock?
I've done it before.
Under 45 minutes?
It did not go well. I had to call, hey, you're like, you got it in backwards, a-hole. But anyway, you want to go to the funhouse? You want to wait?
Well, real quick, because it would be short. Right. So we started the show, are the Orioles back? We keep talking about that. And me and Bob taking a little bit more of a reserved approach here. That's probably the best way to put it. We just don't want to get hurt again. We've been here before. Like the 6-game win streak, right, where I was initially buying back in. I mean, that wasn't that long ago, and you see what happens. It's only what you do to build on top of that. But if I was going to point to some things from yesterday's doubleheader that left me more encouraged, it's not just the fact that, oh, Gunnar Henderson with the clutch home run. That's what he does. You know, that's what he's expected to do. But getting the contributions from someone like Jackson behind the plate, that's what matters a little bit more to me. Getting two great innings out of Wolfram in the first game, that's what they're going to need, especially if they're selling off guys. Your roster is going to become a little more thin. We're talking about how do you potentially balance competing a miracle run like what the Tigers did last year if you're going to be selling off assets at the deadline. Well, you're going to need contributions like that you got yesterday. Guys are going to have to step up. If they are truly going to be a miracle team, it's going to have to be those no-name players that we're talking about.
And how about not a no-name guy, but the play that Urias made in the second game of the doubleheader?
Mm-hmm.
The pop-up, I mean, that bat at-bat stays alive because Dominguez, his command kind of took a hike on him. He was scuffling, did blaze that 99 down the pipe to finish things off. Just making these little plays. Base running blunder is getting somewhat annoying here,
yes.
Let's be honest.
Well, that's like one a game at this point.
Yeah, I mean, Holiday got picked off, a little snap throw. For Peterson, Westberg was out by a foot. Taylor hosed him at third base. Laureano, a couple of nights ago, got picked off third base. I mean, you can't, when you're 8 games under 500 and 6.5 out of the wild card, they're not the 70 Orioles. You can't beat, they didn't beat themselves, but you can't hand teams victories. You can't make boneheaded plays. You got to play as crisp as you possibly can.
I'm counting on Gunner to play like MVP the rest of the way. And he can carry them by himself, I think.
Boy, he'll need another guy. Him and Westberg.
Westberg?
Well, he saw yesterday.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, I
no
mean,
doubt.
I've been saying all along. And old Moo Man had a nice doubleheader yesterday, too.
Well, that's what I just want to see the whole group play together. Can we get the guys hot at the same time? Can we get them on the field at the same time? I mean, that's been hard enough, but I mean, is it so much to ask that all of these expected players, all of these expected big bats, actually clicking at the same time? We just haven't seen it.
What are your expectations level for Muscles O'Neal in the second half of the
After season? Yesterday, I don't know how much lower it could possibly get. I mean, it's just weak pop-ups, the infield pop-ups, uncompetitive at-bats. I really, like, if he didn't play another game for the Orioles, it wouldn't make a difference to me. I mean, whether he's here or not. He's not making a difference when he is here.
I don't want to go all PT on you, but what if he hits 15 bombs and hits 280 with a plus 800 OPS in the second half?
Thank the heavens, because it means he might just opt out.
Yeah. Oh, are you one Gonzo?
Look, you got to count your losses when it happens. Like, if he went on a miracle run that justified in his mind, I think I could get some more money. Hey, have fun. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a weird contract. But anyway, we'll see if Michael Eyes goes back. We don't want to get out of control here, digressing too much. We'll come back ribbing it with Ryan. Vinny, have a great weekend.
You guys have a great vacation. I guess I'll see you. The Ravens will be starting.
Yeah, we'll be here, what, the 21st?
21st?
Yes.
Yeah, 21st, we're back. Okay. But we're not going anywhere yet. Ripping it with Ryan, then BBT coming up tonight at 6 o'clock. By the way, Inside Access, live from Pickles, starting at 2.